Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Should I wait on the parents to get back, or should I just go ahead and start? Y'all aren't going to say. That's nice of you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Amen. I'm going to do something this morning that I've had on my heart for a while, several weeks actually. It's a monumental task that can't be covered this morning in its completeness. But I'm going to start out with what I believe the Lord wants me to share and how I can get into it. Now, there's a lot of you here that have probably heard the first part of what I'm getting ready to say. Maybe some of you here that haven't. It's been a while since I've just gone into it. But I'm going to start out by sharing an experience, and then we're going to take a running trip. Hope we don't fall. Running trip through the scriptures. As I have several scriptures that I want to call your attention to. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but we are going to cover a bunch of them because when the Bereans, people from Berea in the old country, down in close to Israel, heard what Paul had to say. It says of them that they searched the scriptures to see if what he said was so. Now, this is Paul preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had no New Testament, they only had the Old Testament. So when Paul would preach about Jesus and about the Messiah and about the things that he had seen and heard, they would go to the Old Testament to see if it was backed up. And you know what they found? It was. And they became believers. So that's what we're going to do with what I'm going to share. I grew up in the church. I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't attend church. I grew up in a church that believed in salvation. They believed that you needed to be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And after I was a pretty good sized boy, I don't know what, 12, 14 years old, we had a pastor that was assigned to our church that was a graduate of Asbury Seminary. And this is a United Methodist Church. Well, it wasn't even a United Methodist Church then. It was an EUB church. And he was an EUB pastor. And not only did he talk about salvation, but he started throwing in something about sanctification. Second blessing, second work of grace, something that John Wesley taught, that most people that are connected with John Wesley today don't even know that he taught. And that there was something that God wanted to do for us more than just save us. More than just forgive us of our sins and take us to heaven when we die. He wanted to do a work in our lives. Well, I wasn't sure what all that was, but I really loved God. We moved to Tennessee. We went to church. We didn't have to. I was 22 and Laverne was 19. I was 22, Laverne was 19. We were young enough to sow any kind of oats we wanted to sow. But there was something in us, and when we got down to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, we went to church. When we moved to Illinois, we went to church. But our problem up there was we couldn't find a Methodist church that really seemed to have any kind of spiritual life to it. I'm not saying there wasn't any around there, but they were, we didn't find them. We were given advice and said, there's this church over here, they're the most spiritual one around. We went over there and I thought, if this is the most spiritual one around, they are in real trouble. Well, we couldn't find anything, so what we decided to do, since there was only two groups that we were very familiar with, and the other, one of them was the Methodist, the other was the Baptist. Well, even though I didn't agree with some of the Baptist doctrine, being a Methodist, I knew a lot of Baptist people, and I knew that they were good people. And I knew what they preached, and I'd heard Billy Graham, and I thought, you know, he's okay. He preaches good. So we decided we'd go to a Baptist church. So we went to this little Baptist church and found out that we fit right in. And we had a good experience there for a year. Then God called me into the ministry. We moved back to Kentucky. I went to school at Asbury Seminary. I pastored for a couple of years, and I was grinding it out. As a full-time student and a full-time pastor, and basically a new husband, not a father yet, but I found out I had my hands full. And about 3 years into that experience, I got right down on the floor with God. And one day I told him, Lord, let's get this straight. If there isn't something that you've got that I don't have, I'm quitting. And then I qualified it. I said, I don't mean that I'm going to quit serving you. I don't mean that I'm going to not live for you anymore. But this pastoring business, I can't take it. Now, I'd been in it 2 or 3 years. That was 40 years ago. Nearly 40. And I said, Lord, if there's something else, you better show it to me. Like I said, I grew up in church. I don't remember ever hearing this expression. But after I had that little conversation with God, and I went back to seminary. I went to a seminary that when I enrolled there, there was a question on the enrollment. It said, do you or have you ever spoken in tongues? If you answer this question yes, we suggest that you apply to another school. So I signed it because I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't know nothing about it. I just heard of it, but I certainly hadn't done it. I hadn't had any connection with it. So I went to school. And that was a little retro. Now I'm back up to where I was after I'd been there 2 or 3 years. I took a class, and one of the professors, and the class was called Prayer and Spiritual Life. It was the name of the class. And so I took that class, and we were in there, And this was about the time that I had my little conversation with God. And the professor assigned us 30 hours of reading. This is back when cassettes were the thing. Just getting into, you didn't have them in the cars yet, but you had them in the little cassette decks that you could buy and carry around with you. And one of the students said, "Professor, can we listen to tapes and count it as reading?" He said, "Sure." He says, "As a matter of fact, in my office I've got all kinds of tapes. You're welcome to borrow any of them you want to." Well, I had an hour and a half drive to school every day from where we lived. And I got to thinking, hour and a half up there, hour and a half back. 3 hours a day. I can have my whole semester's reading assignment in that class done in 10 days just by listening to it on my way to school and back. Ah, this is good. I didn't have a cassette to my name, but Laverne's dad had given us a cassette player for Christmas that year. So I had the player. So I go into his office and I start looking through these tapes. I never saw such wild titles. Stuff I never even thought about before. And one of the things that I began to hear after my conversation with God about quitting if there wasn't anything else was the expression baptism in the Holy Spirit. It seemed like every time I turned around and I thought, what is this that I've been this long running into this? And it only happens after I pray, God, is there something else? And so I decided to check it out. Grab some of those tapes. Listen to those tapes. Chin dropped on a lot of those tapes. But they made sense. And the people that were talking about them backed them up with Scripture. And they were talking about an experience with God called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God indwells you and fills you in a different form than when you got saved. I found out later on, you read the 8th chapter of Romans, and it tells you the difference between the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead. So when you got saved, you got the Spirit of Christ, which is technically the Spirit of God. And then if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit. So you get the whole package, if you know about it, which we're going to see here in a minute. So, after reading all of that, and searching, and trying, and I'll be honest, and trying to discredit it, saying, I don't want to fool with this, it's too controversial. I even went to a bookstore in Lexington, which is close to where I was going to school. I went to a bookstore in Lexington looking for something that would give me, because then, let me go one step further real quick. There was something associated with this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing called speaking in tongues. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit itself wasn't that scary. But putting tongues with it was a different story. Because I had never had any experience with it. I just heard stuff. You can't believe everything you hear. So anyway, trying to figure it out, I went to this bookstore, and I was going to see if I could get me a book and find out about this speaking in tongues. So I went in the bookstore, went over to the section where that was. There was a shelf, and I'm not kidding you, as long as this front row of pews. And all that was on that shelf was books, none of them bigger than that. So imagine how many books this size you can get on a shelf that long. Little ones and some of that, but one after another on the subject of either the baptism of the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues. And I started looking through them. And I spent a lot of time there that day. And I'd glance through them, and I'd, you know, you read the little synopsis on the back about what the guy's purpose was. And everything in that line of books covered a gamut that said it's the best thing that God ever did for anybody besides save them. To the other end of the gamut, this is of the devil and you better leave it alone. And anything in between, any combination or degree. And they're all there on that row. So I could have picked out a book that would have backed up anything I chose that I wanted to believe. Hey, you want to believe that not everybody does it? Here's a book that tells you that. You want to believe that this part of it's true, but this part isn't? There's a book that tells you that. If you want to believe that it passed away, that it was real at a time, but it doesn't operate now, there was a book that you could have picked up and used as your evidence. So I got in the car and started home. And I'm sitting there in the car, and I said, God, that was a waste. He said, no, it wasn't. He said, what did you learn? I said, well, I certainly don't know what I learned. Because I don't know which book or which view that I should embrace. And he said, well, you did learn something even though that you don't realize you did. I said, what? He said, you learned that there is somebody that will back up anything you want to believe. I said, well, you're right about that. He said, now, how about let's do this? You lay aside all those books, and you go to my word, and you find out from me what I've got to say about it. And so I did. And I told Laverne, we got to make some decisions. And so my first decision, I got to get away from my surroundings, so I can just have some time alone with God with no distractions. And so I went to Madisonville, Kentucky, which wasn't too far from where we live, 40, 50 miles. Got me a motel room. Took my Bible. and one other book that sparked to a great degree the modern day charismatic movement. John Sherrill's book, They Spake with Other Tongues. While I was there those 3 days, 2 nights and 3 days, I read that book. And I said, Lord, now what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to read your word. I am going to read the entire New Testament, book by book. And I'm going to see what you have to say, that I can take your word and relate it to this subject. During those 3 days, I read the entire New Testament. And I said, now I want the Spirit of God to show me what I'm looking for. And out of the entire New Testament, the only book in those 3 days that I could not say that I saw something that had to be a direct statement about the Holy Spirit was in the book of Philemon. Every other book in the New Testament has something to say about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I decided I better take it serious. And from that point on, I said, okay, God, I'm ready for it. And I never did speak in tongues. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pastored a little church up in Casey County, averaged 52 people in attendance, because we had to keep records. Averaged 52 people in attendance the first 3 years we were up there. I pastored there 4 years. I had an encounter with God before the fourth year. Prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wasn't sure what happened. Something happened that night when I prayed. I wasn't sure what it was, so I just kind of set it aside. It was kind of scary. I actually heard myself say something that didn't sound like English. And then I heard something tell me immediately, you made it up. I thought, well, maybe I did. I'll quit. But there was a change in my life. We saw almost immediately a miracle. Laverne had had back problems for, she'd been going to chiropractor I don't know how long. And the day that I realized, sitting in one of my seminary classes, that I had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I knew it. I can't tell you how I knew it. I just knew it. Went out and got in the car. We were going to Lexington that day. Laverne was driving because holding the steering wheel helped her keep her back steady where it didn't hurt quite as bad. I got in that car. I sat down in that seat. I didn't say a word to her. I just looked at her. And she looked at me. And she said, you got it, didn't you? I said, yes. And you know what I had to do? All I had to do was believe. All I had to do was believe that God wanted to give me the Holy Spirit. And when I believed, I said to myself, I can believe that. And bam, It happened. Well, we're going down the road. I'm talking to her and I'm telling her. I don't know what I was telling her. I don't know what I even felt. I just knew something was different. Well, all of a sudden, she starts crying. And she starts trying to tell me something. And I can't understand the thing she's saying. I said, "What'd you say?" So she said it again. She's just crying harder. Now, she wasn't speaking in tongues. That's what I thought to begin with after I realized I couldn't understand her. But she was just crying so hard she couldn't say it good in English. So finally I said, "Slow down and say it plainly." And she said, "God has healed my back." She said, "Every pain is gone." And I had seen that woman barely able to move for weeks. "Every pain is gone." Wow. Now, a lot more that I could say, but like I said, I can't say it all this morning. All right, so how word-related is what I have just told you? Let's see. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and you can read this, you can read the whole thing on your own. I got too much to cover this morning to read it all. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, goes on through and tells what all he told them. And then he says to them in verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how I missed that for so many years. Mark chapter 1. Like I said, this is going to be a fast trip through these scriptures. Mark chapter 1. You're going to have to get there quick because I'm not going to wait on you. First part of chapter 1, John the Baptist prepares the way. He came, it tells what he did. He was baptizing in the wilderness for the remission of sins. And he preached saying, in verse 7, Mark 1, 7 and 8. "And he preached saying, 'There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" There it is again. Second gospel. Third gospel. Luke chapter 3. Yet the same beginning, John preaches to the people. Verse 15. "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered saying to all, 'I indeed baptize you with water, But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Almost the same thing Matthew said. 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. All four Gospels talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Real quickly, we got to go now. What did Jesus have to say about him? What did he have to say about the Holy Spirit? Had a lot to say. Jump over to John 14. Now, you got to understand when you're studying these books, when you're studying the Gospels, you got to understand how they were put together. The more you know about them, the more you can understand them. That's what we've been doing on Wednesday night. I started this past Wednesday night with the beginning of the Gospel. We looked at all four of the Gospels. Some of the things they have in common, some of the things are different. But when you look at the Gospel of John, it's really a lot different than the other three. The first 13 chapters of John are records of Jesus' public ministry. The last chapters, from 14 to 21, basically are the ministry of Jesus to his disciples, the 12, and the passion story of his death and resurrection. And in the section that he's teaching to his disciples, in John chapter 14, it says this in verses 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he will dwell with you and will be in you. And verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit to lift up Jesus Christ, to remind us of everything that he said, to help us with the Word of God. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Notice what he said? The Holy Spirit's coming, and you will also bear witness. Okay? John chapter 16. Notice he's telling all of this to his disciples, not to the rest of the public in general. John 16, beginning with verse 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Again, Jesus explained to his disciples what the Holy Spirit is going to do for them when he comes. Now, we got to jump back to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And verse 49. This is the end of Luke. Luke wrote Acts. Really helps to explain some things when you figure that out. Luke wrote Acts. This is the last thing Luke is saying in his gospel before he starts in Acts. Verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I send the promise of my Father. All right. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, telling them again, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. There's four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I was listening years ago to a well-known Bible teacher that's on radio and TV. If I told you who it was, you would probably recognize the name. But he's very prominent and a very well-known program. I think it may even still be on the air. And this was 20 years ago that I heard this man say this. He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because he was obviously anti-Pentecostal. He said, if there is such a thing as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He said this. Why doesn't it say anything in the Bible about it? I thought, what? In all four Gospels and the book of Acts, it tells that one is coming who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. What is that? He also didn't believe in miracles. Because he said this statement too. He said, how come it is every time you hear about a miracle, it's always 1,000 miles away where you can't check it out. Well, it may be 1,000 miles away from you, but it's not 1,000 miles away from the person that got it. So anyway, just want to throw that in, that some people, even though they're well-known Bible teachers, have missed something somewhere. miss something somewhere. Now, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You remember over in Luke 24:49, he said the promise of the Father is coming to be witness to you, and you too will be witnesses. We are to be witnesses, not do witnessing. Being something is just being something. Whether you say anything or whether you're just living, do people see your life as a witness to the power and the presence of Jesus Christ? It says it can be. A couple pages over, Acts 2:4. Acts 2:1-3 talks about them being in the upper room, one accord, one place, doing what he was told to do, wait. And they waited, and suddenly activity started happening. Fire falling, rushing mighty wind, divided tongues of fire set on each one of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is what? It's the promise of the Father. Not just some little additional information. It's what Jesus said was coming. And he made a statement, and I didn't read it. He said, if I don't go back to the Father, the Spirit can't come. So that's why I'm going back to the Father. You guys are sad that I'm going back, but you ain't got no idea what's going to happen when I do. Now, there are some people that say that was a one-time experience. They got filled with the Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. How? As the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit of God can take any sound you make and make a language out of it. Because with God, nothing is impossible. The difference between English and tongues is that you're controlling the English. You can't mess up the tongues. It's the Spirit of God that's doing that. I mean, real quickly, trying to cover some of this. I need 4 or 5 more times, and looks like I may have to just wait till next Sunday to finish it. But there are at least 4. There are at least 4 different aspects of tongues. At least 4. One, the Bible talks about it being the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just in Acts 2:4. It was in Acts 8:17. Acts 10:44-48. That's when the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles for the first time. How did he know? Because they heard them speak in tongues. It's there. Got to do is read it. Acts 10:44-48. And then Paul ran up on a group of men. They were believers. They were disciples. And Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, what do you mean? We never even heard of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people in churches today, if they were honest, they'd say the same thing. He said, well, then what were you baptized into? They said, we were baptized in the baptism of John. And Paul said, well, that was a baptism of repentance. And it says, then he explained to them, and while he was explaining, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began to speak in tongues. They had nothing to do with the upper room experience. And it says, and there were about 12 of them. Now, that's the one thing. One aspect of tongues. The other aspect of tongues is Paul makes a statement, I pray in my understanding and I pray in the Spirit. Praying with your understanding is praying what you know you're saying. You're making the decision to say it in English. Praying in the Spirit is the Spirit of God praying through you in a heavenly language, speaking to God. Now, I know in chapter 2, some argued, well, it wasn't an unknown language. It was all the different languages. Well, it was unknown to the ones who were speaking it. But then it says in Corinthians that when you speak in tongues, you're speaking in mysteries to God, not to the people around you. When you are praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, you're praying to God. That's the second thing. The third thing is, Paul said, I will sing with my understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit. You begin to sing in English, you know what you're singing. You run out of two words. I mean, how many hallelujahs can you say? Limiting our English language of how magnificent we can praise God. But then we begin to praise Him in the Spirit. It takes the limits off. The Spirit of God praying through us can say whatever He wants to say. That's the third aspect. Evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praying, praising. And the other one is the gift of tongues. Used in a public assembly with an interpreter. A complete message from the Spirit of God. Someone gives a message, and that person or someone else interprets it. See, there was a time in my understanding I didn't know there was anything other than that. That's all I thought it was. So if you give a message, somebody should interpret it. And I found out sometimes when people are speaking in tongues, they're praying, they're not giving a message. Or we're singing in the Spirit. The music's playing, and we're worshiping the Lord, and then somebody just begins to praise God in the Spirit because they choose to. God won't force us to do anything, but He makes everything available. And for those that are going to listen to this on the internet, and those of you that are listening here, after you've heard everything I've said this morning, and like I said, I haven't covered it all. I'll probably do some more later on, but I just feel like this is what God wanted me to do. After you've heard what happened to me, after you hear what the Scripture says about everything that I said, here's the question. What say you? Let's stand. What say you? You know, you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit the minute that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you got to know it. It's there. It's available. It's present. The Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not something that you have to wait for. You don't have to tarry. They had to tarry because it was at that point where the Holy Spirit was poured out once Jesus finished His work of sitting down to the right hand of the Father. claiming off his authority. And the anointing flows down over the body, which is us. But since that day, you don't have to tarry in Jerusalem or tarry at the altar or do anything. You just got to get to the point where you can say, I believe I've got it. I believe it's mine. I believe it's available. It can happen by people laying hands on you. It can happen by you just praying the prayer saying, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's happened that people that were looking for something and they didn't know what they were looking for, but God knew what they were looking for. And it hit them before they realized what it was they were looking for. And then they said, wow, that was nice. One person in particular I can think of that happened that way too was Paul Prather. Some of you will know him. He's died and gone on to be with the Lord, but he came here many times and ministered through the years that we've been here. But it's like Laverne said this morning. Sometimes we get so familiar with things that we take them for granted. And I know it had been a long time. And maybe I should repent and apologize for it. But I'm covered by the grace of God. But it's been a long time since I have preached a message that specifically dealt with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and not with it as part of something else I was preaching. I just want you to remember and be reassured. And also, you go out of here and people start asking you questions. If you took good notes this morning, you ought to be able to answer some of their questions that you might not have been able to answer before. Let's bow our heads. First important thing in anybody's life is that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That you've accepted him into your life. Your sins are forgiven. And you have new life in him. If you haven't done that, or if you're not sure about it, is there anyone who would raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ this morning? Anyone on the internet that's listening? Same thing. You can receive him if you don't know him. Second question. Anyone here this morning says, I've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't have what God promised. I've struggled with it, or I haven't believed it, or I just haven't had the faith to receive it. But I want all that God has for me. And I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you do, raise your hand. I'll pray the prayer and you receive. If you raise your hand, I want you to believe what I'm praying. Thank you, Lord God, that you came form of Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, I thank you that Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And Lord, this morning, you said ask and we'd receive. For those that lifted their hands, let them have a heart of faith right now, to say, I receive. By faith, I receive. And give themselves to the Spirit. So that He might flow from them. Be baptized in your spirit to know it with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning, I want you to just lift your hands and I want you to begin to praise the Lord and call out to the Lord in your prayer language. If you don't have a prayer language, exercise some faith. Exercise some faith. If you pray to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to give the Spirit of God the opportunity to put the language in your mouth. Lord, I thank you for your gift, for the gift of your Spirit. You poured out upon us. And I praise you. Soto kobabrasai. Yes, bedelebabrasto. Yes, I praise you, Lord. Jizamanaranaranakara bedelobustoa. Ne, my master belelala tota la bebelea. Oh, Ramasa belelaka. Nez dala somebody on door also. Oh, brasabadi prosababa. Ne, did they say? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit being poured out on whosoever will. Whosoever will receive. Whosoever will receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, they weren't having a church service when those men got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They didn't call them up front and say, "Now we're going to pray for you." Paul, it says Paul laid hands on them. But even when the Gentiles received it, they just received it. And they started. Surprised everybody around them. Because the Jews didn't think the Gentiles needed it or were worthy of it. But they got it. So there's not any forms or procedures that you follow except call upon the name of the Lord and believe that you're going to receive what you asked for. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence here today, touching each one. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask that you bless our time together now, bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies. And we thank you for keeping everybody safe and sound. Bless those that have to leave. Thank you for your mercies upon them. But thank you so much for what you've done for us, for all who believe. In Jesus' name, amen. If you came and you didn't know about today and you'd like to stay for lunch, you feel free to do that. God will multiply it if necessary, and there'll be enough. If you can't stay,